Our speaker for today was about to come on here, and I stopped her. I gotta give you an introduction. Yes. You don't just walk up inside here like that, right? Our speaker for the day, a young lady who'll be giving us the message, one of your own, homegrown. Okay? Homegrown. She's about to enter her senior year of high school. And as I was asking her about, you know, giving this message, you know, Holy Spirit just keeps hitting me, boom, Kenneth, you can't give this message. I say, okay. So this individual is going to come up and give you a message. And I believe that when you hear this message, parents, you're going to take note. Students, you're going to take note also. She told me about the message yesterday, and I took note. I got a little bit teary-eyed. Okay. I hope I'm not putting her on the spot, but she's a senior in high school. And kids, you need to listen to her. She's been where you've been. I wouldn't say done what you've done. I don't know. Okay. But she's been where you've been. And the words that she has for us right now, I assure you that it's going to be impactful in your life. Amen? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to show some love for Chloe Walls.
Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm up here today to talk to you guys because it's about that time, and it's time for us to go back to school. So many people are going shopping for school supplies. Maybe you're getting new clothes or getting your hair done or all of that. So when we think about what it is that we need to bring back to school, we think about pencils and notebooks and crayons and all of that, but there are a few other things that we don't think about that are way more important. So when us young people go back to school this year, I want us to bring three things with us, and that is honesty, respect, and moral courage. So the first thing that I want to talk about is honesty. So why should we be honest? Well, it's what God wants, right? So I'll read a little story in the Bible about what happens when someone is not honest. And I'll be going to Acts 5, verse 1 through 11, if you would like to read along. Ananias and Sapphira. But there was a certain man named Ananias, who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell, as you wished. After selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. So what just happened? Ananias and Sapphira, they had their own property that they could have sold, and they could have kept all the money, but they decided that they would lie to the apostles and tell them that they gave them all of it and kept back some of it for themselves. So this is the kind of greed and dishonesty that we see a lot in the world today. So let's see what happens to them. Oh, and then Peter says, you weren't lying to us, but to God. So that's what happens when we lie to God's people. We're not just lying to each other, but we're lying to God. Amen. So verse 5, as soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him up in a sheet, and took him out and buried him. 3 hours later, his wife came out, and Peter asked her the same question. Was this the price you and your husband received for the land? Yes, she replied, that was the price. So she just lied too. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the spirit of the Lord like this? The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. Instantly, she fell to the floor and died. So the two of them, the sin that they committed was not just lying, but it was lying to God and his people. It was destructive and it destroyed them. But we can't deceive God, and doing so destroys our testimony. But Satan is constantly trying to make the believers stumble, and we have to fight this battle every day, and it's not an easy one. So one thing that we can do to arm ourselves is read our Bible. So I'll read some things that I found in the Bible about honesty. One is Proverbs 12, verse 22. Says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Another is Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So everything that we allow into our minds determines our words and actions. So that's especially hard for us being in school. We are exposed to a lot of things and people that can put harmful thoughts in our minds and tarnish our thoughts. So we have to be careful what kind of things we encounter through things like the internet. We have social media, all kinds of things on there. We have to be careful what books we read, the conversations that we have at school amongst our peers, what movies we watch, what magazines we read. It's all hard, and sometimes the things that we encounter are not wholesome, and we have to replace them with wholesome things. One thing we can do is read God's word and pray and ask him to help us focus on what's good and pure. Because it's not easy and it can't happen overnight. Amen. So the next thing that I would like us to bring back to school this year is respect. So that's a big one. Who deserves respect? Everybody. We're all children of God. And especially going back to school, figures of authority. I know a lot of you guys probably have teachers that you don't necessarily like for whatever reason. Maybe they just aren't good teachers or whatever, but they deserve respect too. They're children of God. And we have to respect figures of authority at home, in our neighborhood, respect our elders in church, and respect, an important one is respect yourself. A lot of kids out here do drugs and drink, and God made us perfect, and we don't want to ruin that by filling our bodies with those harmful things. And another big one for going back to school is respecting our peers, because bullying is a big issue that goes overlooked a lot of times and people are afraid to come out and say something about it. So another story that I would like to read is 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. So you guys can read along if you like. Verse 23. Elijah left Jericho and went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, a group of boys from the town began mocking and making fun of him. "Go away, Baldy," they chanted. "Go away, Baldy." Elijah turned around and looked at them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of them. From there, Elijah went to Mount Carmel and returned to Samaria. So Elijah, he is God's messenger. He's trying to go and do the Lord's work, and these group of boys is teasing him and bullying him. So they weren't just teasing him, but they were disrespecting his message and God's power. But no one should hurt God's children. So we saw what happened to these bullies. These bears came out of the woods and mauled them. And Elijah did not summon those bears himself. God did. So that's what happens when you mess with one of God's children. So, another thing that I found in the Bible, Thessalonians 5, 12 through 15 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them the great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other." So we should respect those who lead us to the Lord. That is our church family, our elders, pastor, deacons, everybody in the church. We're all children of God. So the third thing that I want us to bring back to school with us is moral courage. So what is moral courage? Moral courage is standing for what is right despite opposition or adversity. So sometimes for young Christians in school, we face criticism because not everyone is accepting. So maybe people get called things like a Jesus freak, or they say like you're weird or don't mess with her or whatever because she's weird. But moral courage is me standing up against that and standing by my faith despite what everybody else thinks or despite what everyone else has to say about it. So then the opposite of that, we have moral cowardice. The coward is someone who knows what is right but won't do it. The one with moral courage does what is right and is public about their faith. There is purpose of heart in what they do. So I have a little example, Galatians 2, verse 11 through 19. And we'll see moral courage and moral cowardice. So, Paul confronts Peter, verse 11. When Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, "Since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Jesus Christ so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law." So what happened is, first Peter was eating with the Gentiles, then James and his friends come along, and now he doesn't want to eat with them because he's afraid of what James and his friends might think. So he kind of switched up on them, and that's not good. So maybe in school you have a friend that you hang out with her at lunch and y'all play a recess together or whatever, and then maybe some cooler kids come along, and now you don't want to be friends with her because of what they might think of you. Maybe they won't think that you're cool anymore. So that's moral cowardice. So I have another example, Luke 23, 11 through 25. So Pilate hands Jesus over to be crucified. Then Pilate called together the leading priests and other religious leaders along with the people, and he announced his verdict. "You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. I have examined him thoroughly on the point of your presence and find him innocent." So they're talking about Jesus. Pilate is saying, as they're trying to crucify Jesus, that no, I think that he's innocent. I see he didn't do anything. So Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. "Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty. So I will have him flogged and then I will release him." But then a mighty roar rose from the crowd, and with one voice they shouted, "Kill him and release Barabbas to us." But Barabbas was actually the guilty one. He was in prison for taking part in an insurrection and for murder. So they wanted to put Jesus, an innocent man, in and take out Barabbas, the criminal. So Pilate argued with them because he wanted to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." So now Pilate is in a position where he has to think, should I listen to what everyone else is saying, even though I know that it's not right? So he had to make a decision. For the third time, he demanded, "Why? What crime has he committed? I found no reason to sentence him to death, so I will have him flogged, and then I will release him." But the mob was shouting louder and louder, demanding that Jesus be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate sentenced Jesus to die as they demanded. So we see that Pilate decided to be a coward, and he listened to what everyone else did. He didn't stand by what was right. That's moral cowardice. So as they had requested, he released Barabbas, the man who was a murderer, and crucified Jesus. So Pilate was afraid of what everyone else would think, and he thought, well, we don't need a riot right now in Jerusalem. So he just decided to give in to that peer pressure, which is also something that we face a lot at school. So to me, I think that moral courage looks a lot better than moral cowardice, and I think it looks that way to God as well. So Matthew 10:33 says, whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. So when we deny God's children, we are denying God, and that is not good. So in closing, young people, those are the three things I want you guys to remember to bring back to school. Honesty, when we are dishonest, we lie to God. We destroy our testimony. We need to bring back respect. When we are disrespectful, we disrespect God and his children. And three is moral courage. If we deny God, he will deny us. Young Christians, when we go back to school this year, let's remember our values, stand by our faith, and rely on God, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you.